May it please the Court. Good morning. My name is Christopher Keel on behalf of Defendant Appellant Jasper Vargas. Mr. Vargas was convicted of knowingly possessing more than 5 kilograms of cocaine with the intent to distribute it. The key disputed issue at trial was knowledge, specifically whether or not Mr. Vargas knew that cocaine was secretly stored within a specially created, complicated hidden compartment buried deep within the refrigeration unit of the trailer he happened to haul the day he was arrested, November 20th, 2004. To secure a conviction in this case, the government was allowed to introduce evidence that Mr. Vargas had previously transported drugs in completely unrelated drug cases. This evidence was admitted under Rule 404B. On appeal, Mr. Vargas argues that the trial court's decision to admit this evidence was an abuse of discretion. In fact, this is exactly the kind of case that Rule 404B was designed to prevent. This is a prototypical...
So the drugs were in his truck, but he says he didn't know they were there. But isn't the fact that he'd transported drugs previously in a truck make it less likely that he would be ignorant of drugs concealed in his truck?
I would have to disagree with that, Your Honor. First, it was not his truck. He owned the trailer, the tractor that hauled the truck, but somebody else provided the truck. And there was no evidence connecting Mr. Vargas to the drugs or to the trailer, anybody who modified the trailer to include the compartment, or anybody who put the drugs in the compartment. So I think...
But if in the past you've smuggled drugs in this way, wouldn't it make you more alert than the average person to tampering with your truck and hiding... Would also show knowledge, maybe in a weak sense, but wouldn't it show that you knew something about concealing drugs in trucks?
Oh, I don't think it's a secret, Your Honor, that drugs are concealed when they are transported in large
quantities.
No, but there
are, you know, techniques. It wouldn't be easy for one of us, presumably, to figure out a really good way of hiding drugs in a truck. But if we'd done it before, then we'd be a little more... knowledgeable about.
I think that's a good point, Renner. This is a very different technique used to conceal the drugs in the trailer.
Right. Well, the first one didn't work, right? The first technique.
The first one worked, I guess, fine for Mr. Vargas. He was not arrested or charged or convicted.
But the drugs were discovered.
That's correct, as they were in this case.
Big loss. So if your drugs are discovered in, you know, one method of concealment, then it gives you an incentive to find a better method of concealment, which he did.
I think that's correct, Your Honor, but at the time this 404B evidence was evaluated and was decided to be allowed by the district court, Mr. Vargas was not convicted of the charged crime. In this case, he was presumed innocent. So I think if you say that Mr. Vargas learned from...
The evidence of prior crimes is admitted for knowledge. And doesn't the fact that he smuggled drugs make it somewhat more likely that he knew that there were concealed drugs in this shipment?
I would have to disagree, Your Honor, because of the different mechanisms used to conceal the drugs. In the prior instances, the drugs weren't concealed within a specially crafted...
Right. But as I say, that prior method had failed, and so you look for a more secure method. You don't want to lose those drugs. They're very valuable.
That's correct, Your Honor, but that doesn't have any bearing on Mr. Vargas' knowledge of whether or not there was a compartment.
It suggests that he knew about the... He'd smuggled drugs before, so he knew how to do it, and he did it better the second time.
Well, there's no evidence, Your Honor, connecting Mr. Vargas to the modification in the trailer. So I think there's a disconnect there to say that the prior instances of drug dealings have a bearing on what was used in the particular trailer in this case. Those have no connection to Mr. Vargas, other than the fact that he happened to be hauling that trailer. But there's no evidence that he made the special compartment or loaded the drugs on there.
Now, this is the evidence.
What, the 404B evidence?
Yeah.
I think, Your Honor, that the different mechanisms used to conceal the drugs create a disconnect that makes the 404B evidence completely irrelevant. In this case, there's no evidence that Mr. Vargas knew that there was
the evidence.
The 404B evidence?
Yeah. This is the evidence that he, having failed the last time, looked for and found a better method of concealment.
I think, Your Honor, that explanation speaks to propensity, just simply to show that...
It doesn't. It shows a desire to improve his technique.
Well, first of all, Your Honor, it wasn't Mr. Vargas's technique. There's no evidence to show that it was his technique.
That's the issue, right?
I think that is the issue, and the government has basically conceded that there's no evidence that Mr. Vargas was ever seen to enter the trailer, to inspect the contents of the trailer, or any evidence that he knew, direct evidence that he knew that the compartment was there.
This is indirect evidence.
Well, I disagree, Your Honor. Even if the 404B evidence had some bearing on knowledge, it had very slight probative value, I think. The crucial issue here under the 403 analysis is how the jury would perceive this evidence.
Is there any evidence of how much he received haul his load? How much did he get paid?
There was some evidence from convicted felon Natris Morris that he received, I believe, $6,000 to $7,000 per kilo. But the evidence from Natris Morris was so unconvincing that the government did not rely on it in its brief. The crucial issue here of what
Did it go to the jury?
It went to the jury. But the crucial issue here, Your Honor, is the way in which the government used the 404B evidence to secure a conviction on a completely unrelated drug offense. That is the prohibition of 404B to allow the government to leverage its proof on other instances of drug dealings to secure a conviction on a completely unrelated case. And I think the nature of the evidence compared between the 404B acts and the evidence of the charge crime bears this out. The 404B acts involve details, places, and names, and events that the charge crime didn't involve. There was scant proof to connect Mr. Vargas to the drugs concealed in the trailer in the charge crime.
Well, that's the question about the amount he got paid. If he'd done this before, he was getting paid, I assume that's considerably more than he would get hauling vegetables, right?
I have no knowledge of that, Your Honor. I would imagine that that's the case, but I have no knowledge.
Well, it seems what you would be focusing on, I don't know where they argued it this way, but in the prior shipments with produce, the drugs were mingled in with the vegetables or whatever it was.
That's correct, Your Honor.
This time they were secured into this compartment. Now, I suppose he could argue that he did inspect it, and there weren't any drugs in there, where there usually were. And maybe someone else put them in that one that he didn't know about. Did he try to make that argument?
He did not, Your Honor, and the facts in this case are undisputed that he never entered the inside of the trailer.
Didn't even look at it one way or the other.
As far as I know,
in the past he had hauled stuff where drugs were co-mingled.
As far as I know, Your Honor, that's correct.
So he's not making that argument that he checked.
He's not. That was not Mr. Vargas' defense.
What's
Mr. Vargas.
What's strange about that is that if you smuggle drugs in someone else's vehicle, you've got to worry about how are you going to get them out the other end.
Who is this that has that worry? Mr. Vargas had no knowledge of the drugs.
No, the plausibility of this kind of thing, smuggling drugs in someone else's vehicle. How do you get it out at the other end?
Well, I have to correct you, Your Honor. It was not Mr. Vargas's truck. Somebody owned that truck.
Look, you're not listening to me. If you smuggle drugs in someone else's vehicle, the driver doesn't know anything about it. How do you get it out at the other end? Don't you have to worry about getting it out on the other end?
I think you do, Your Honor, but in the case of the charge crime and the use of a secret compartment, I think that simply supports the idea that you could use an unwitting driver.
How? What's the evidence about what this smuggler, how he was going to get it out at the delivery end?
There is none, Your Honor. The government offered no explanation.
No, it's your explanation. You've got this theory that your client has this theory that someone else, you know, is smuggling the drugs in the truck. He didn't know about it. But to make this plausible, you'd have to have some theory as to how one extracts the drugs at the other end.
Right,
and you have to have confederates at the other end, and they have to sneak up and somehow get the stuff out of the truck. Do they have a key to the truck? How do they get in?
I don't know how it works, Your Honor, but there was a destination for the legitimate cargo in this case, and obviously there was a destination for the contraband, and they could have been one and the same thing. But the evidence from the government...
I don't hear you. You're speaking very rapidly.
There was definitely a destination for both the legitimate load of produce in this case, and there was also a destination for the contraband load. And I think that both loads could be
He could have unhitched the trailer, left the trailer, and took his tractor away.
That's correct, Your Honor. But there's no evidence to connect Mr. Vargas to the person who was receiving these drugs. So
that's his argument. His argument is that he's going to just deliver the produce. He didn't worry about how they're going to get the drugs out.
That's right.
He didn't know they're in there.
That's right. And Mr. Vargas was not put to making a defense because the government did not have any evidence to connect him with anyone else involved.
And this is your theory. It's not the government's theory. This is your theory.
Well, Mr. Vargas,
some scheme to use an innocent as the smuggler and then somehow get into the truck at the other end and get it out.
I think that's right, Your Honor. And I think in the case of a concealed compartment, the use of an unwitting would be far safer than using somebody.
It wouldn't, because how on earth do you get the stuff out at the other end?
I said safer, Your Honor. It may not have been logistically easier, but it would be safer because your truck.
How do you get the stuff out on the other end?
For example, the I would, well, in this case, the secret compartment was specially built. It was welded into the refrigeration unit. So there would obviously have to be some situation where the trailer goes into somebody else's hands. It would take a while. In fact, in this case, it took the police officer several hours.
Does it do you any good to have a key? You have to go in there with an acetylene torch?
You have to take possession of the trailer.
Okay. Well,
no further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Mr. Cox?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Richard Cox on behalf of the United States. It seems to me that counsel's argument highlights, in this particular case, and in most cases, the difficulty of proving knowledge, what is in someone's head. And it seems to me that in this case, this is a very good example, maybe even an excellent example, of the proper use and application of Rule 404B evidence. It seems to me that everyone, all the parties in this case, approached the 404B evidence in this case appropriately, identified what it was to be used for, what matter at issue, gave the proper notice. There was a written response from the defendant. The judge gave a thoughtful written opinion before the evidence was introduced at trial. It was the only issue. Not only was it an element of the offense that the government had to prove, but it was the defense. It was the sole issue in the case. Did Mr. Vargas know he was carrying 282 kilograms of cocaine concealed in this the refrigeration unit? So it was used appropriately then also by the government. The government never suggested, as this court has criticized the government rightly for in previous cases, suggesting that you've been convicted or you've been involved in drugs before, so you're a drug dealer. The government very carefully, both in its opening and closing, directed the jury's attention only to the other crimes evidence to, as it sheds light, I think was the exact words, on Mr. Vargas' knowledge of the contents of his trailer. And finally, of course, there was a limiting instruction given in the case. It was only given before closing arguments at the defendant's request. He asked specifically that it not be given at the time that the evidence was introduced to the jury. So it seems to me in many ways this is a paradigm of what this court has been criticizing the government for in other 404B cases that we have taken to heart, and we have attempted to identify the specific issue, explain why the evidence is relevant, not offered merely for propensity, and to do what's what we can then to eliminate any possible prejudice.
As your opposing counsel indicated, you did offer how much you got paid.
That came from a cooperating witness who was in jail with Mr. Vargas pending trial, Your Honor, and it was about, I think what he testified was about $6,000 to $7,000 per kilo was what he expected to be paid for transporting this cocaine.
So it was his cocaine to sell?
Through the cooperating witness, he said he was working on behalf of a Mexican cartel hauling the cocaine to Chicago, and he expected to be paid for hauling services $6,000 to $7,000 per kilo. So I don't think that was – I think that was the price he was being – or the transporting.
How many kilos were in there?
282 kilos, Your Honor.
So obviously that's the cost of each kilo. That's not what he's going to get paid for hauling.
Well, the cost of the kilos probably at that time, I think, Your Honor, the testimony was around $20,000 a kilo for cocaine, yes. So this would have been still a fairly significant amount, but certainly not the wholesale cost of the kilogram of cocaine at that time.
Well, he was actually hauling produce of some sort.
There was produce, yes.
Was there a contract price for him to haul that?
There was no evidence, Your Honor, with regard to what Mr. Vargas expected to be paid or what he was to be paid for hauling the produce. There was a significant amount of produce in the trailer because the truck had to be taken to an off-site off the highway to unload all of the produce so that the agents could get to the refrigeration unit, which was located in the front of the trailer.
See, all that makes sense, but I guess maybe they didn't argue. The way I would look at this case is that of the prior hauls, the drugs were commingled. Okay, he got caught for that. It seems to me it's important for this evasion stuff, like making the U-turns and how much he got paid and that, because I think it would be kind of a good argument if he just thinks he's just a driver hauling cabbage, that he had no idea there was a sealed compartment and that maybe he actually checked. Apparently he didn't. Looked in there to make sure there were drugs mingled with the cabbage. And then he drops the truck off somewhere, and someone else unloads it. Now, that seems to be the argument that maybe he would make, but there's other evidence, and that is he took the evasive tactics, and I don't know what else is in there. Just the knowledge issue is important. There is a distinction between this haul and the previous haul.
Well, there certainly is, Your Honor, and Mr. Vargas, of course, didn't offer any evidence, so all of his defense was put in either through cross-examination or through his argument. But his argument certainly was, I did not have knowledge of the cocaine that was concealed in a constructed compartment in the front of this trailer. I was merely hauling a load of produce. And that's what the documentation that he was carrying showed, that he had picked up produce to deliver to a grocery store in Chicago.
And didn't make any resistance or anything on the search?
No, sir. He consented to the search.
You know, $6,000 a kilo for 280 kilos is about $1,700,000. Is that what this witness testified that Vargas was?
The witness testified that that's what Mr. Vargas told him during their jailhouse conversations. That does seem awfully high, Your Honor, except when you consider
high in the sense that if you're offered that much money to drive a truck somewhere, you know that you're carrying illegal materials.
Yes, I would certainly agree with that. And also, of course, the amount of drugs itself, just the wholesale value was $5 million, the testimony was, and it would be highly unlikely that a drug cartel would allow someone unwitting to carry that amount of this is me saying that. There was no evidence of this. But
so that it actually had to be... You really need an acetylene torch to get it
out? I don't believe they needed an acetylene torch. They had to remove screws and rivets and peel away several layers of sheet metal that had been used to construct
It wasn't just a key. It wasn't just a...
No, sir. I think there were three layers of sheet metal that had to be peeled away.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And Mr. Keel, I think his time had expired. Yeah. So anyway, we thank you. And you were appointed, do you know? So we thank you for your efforts on behalf of the panel.